الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله، أما بعد، حياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to the translation of this khutbah of today, which is titled by Benefits from Hajj. We began the khutbah by khutbah al-haja, and then I said, O Muslims, Hajj is that great worship and great and straight ritual which only been legislated and made obligatory for that it provides number of benefits to the Muslim, to the doer of it, to the performer of it. As Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Hajj, in the ayah number 27 and 28, Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah is commanding Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, I'm proclaiming to mankind the Hajj. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel, meaning any method of transportation. They will come from every deep and distance, and distant, wide and distant, wide mountain highway to perform Hajj. And right after that, Allah Ta'ala said, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ. That they may witness things that are of benefit to them and the hereafter, meaning in this world and in the hereafter, and also some worldly gain from and mention the name of Allah on appointed days over the best of cattle that He has provided for them. Then eat thereof and feed therewith the poor having a hard time. So Allah Ta'ala has already told us that there are benefits in this Hajj. And for no doubt, everyone can see and feel the benefits. So the Hujjaj are going to witness the benefits of theirs. Benefits of this worldly life and benefits of the hereafter. From the religious, or as I said, benefits of worldly life and benefits of religion. And from these religious benefits is the implementation of Tawheed and the exercise of Tawheed, which is clearly seen in all the sayings and actions of the Hujjaj. The Tawheed is clearly seen on the sayings and the actions of Hujjaj. Only for those people of justice. But others, we find them in Hajj calling other than Allah. I myself, for a number of years, my compound in Arafah was just next to the compound of Shia, the Rafida. And all day they were calling Ali, Fatima, Hussein, but not Allah. I don't say they called Allah little, but they never called Allah. All the day they were always raising their voices, calling Ali, Fatima, Hussein. In that place where Rasulullah ﷺ said, the best of what to be said there is La ilaha illallah. And I saw them in the Mas'a, in the Haram, raising their voices in folks. Ya Ali, Ya Fatima, Ya Hussein. But, as I said, people of intelligence, people who are wise, they will see the Tawheed there and learn. Because the whole Hajj is only appointed obligatory just to perform and maintain Tawheed. And as I said, from these signs of Tawheed, the declaration of Talbiyah. You utter the Tawheed. You say, لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك. I respond to your call, you alone. I respond to your call without sitting any partners along with you. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك. Verily, thankfulness and praises belong to you. And the grace and blessings which comes to us only comes from you. And the whole world belongs to you. Without any partners being with you. And also the Tawheed is seen clearly on what the Prophet ﷺ said. The best of what I said, me and the prophets before me on the day of Arafah, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. This emphasizes the Tawheed. This emphasizes the Tawheed. Teaches you the Tawheed. When you all the day there in Arafah saying لا إله إلا الله, what does that shows to you? The importance of Tawheed. The importance of Tawheed. You are calling no one but Allah. You're witnessing nothing but the oneness of Allah. And from these benefits, the religious benefits, is the continuation of saying the dhikr, the remembrance. Look at that. Once you put on your ihram clothes, until you leave Mecca, going back to your country, you will continuously do remembrance of Allah. It's an intensive exercise for you, so that when you go back, you don't forget the remembrance of Allah. There, it was an intensive course for you to always utter and be upon Tawheed. And now, it is with the dhikr. And this begins the Talbiyah, through the takbir in the morning of An-Nahr, the day of An-Nahr, the 10th of the Hijjah, when you come to stone, you say, Allahu Akbar, what does that mean? When you say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, greatest of what? Greatest than anything and anybody. So you put nobody besides Allah. Know that you put him before Allah. And also when you stone on the days of Tashreeq, the 11th, 12th and 13th, you always say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yes, now you stop the talbiyah, but you begin another thing, teaches you tawheed again. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And also when you slaughter your animal, you say, Allahu Akbar. And you say the tismiyah, Bismillah, and Allahu Akbar. When you do the tawaf, each time you come to the black stone, you say, Allahu Akbar. When you are on al-Safa and al-Marwa, each time you come to each mountain, you face the Kaaba and say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. All this teaches you tawheed and the importance of the oneness of Allah. And from these benefits is the humbleness of yours towards your Lord and towards your Muslim brothers and sisters. To be humble, to be nice. You do not look to the people as if they are lower than you. You do not give them bad looking. You do not mock them. You respect them because they are human like you, Muslims like you, and they are Hujjaj. They are the guests of Allah. And also this is seen from the time that you come off your clothes. Now in these days, every one of us wears different clothes. Maybe some of us wear expensive clothes, and it refers to decorate it, spend more money on the best clothes and the best decoration, etc. But on the day of Hajj, everybody is the same. Kings, presidents, the custodian, all of them are the same. They are all in two white garments. That's it. In two white garments. No one of them can wear different. If any one of them wears different, he is making a mistake in his Hajj. So, this also shows you that you need to be humble with the others. And you do not speak to them out of ignorance, but you be nice and humble to them. And also, from these two white garments, you learn something important, that you don't waste your money on best clothes. Because at the end, these two white garments remind you what you are going to wear when you depart from this world. Everybody departs on the plane from one land to another. You see them wearing the best of their clothes. But only when you depart from this world to the other world, you depart in very simple clothes. Very, very cheap clothes. This Hajj is a reminder of that. It's a reminder of that. So they are all the same. They are all the same. And so, it teaches you the causes of arrogance. Like, isbal, extending the clothes lower than the ankles. We see many people today prefer to put their clothes, thobes or trousers, or pants, or what we call it, longi, the lower garment, to those who wear it, lower than the ankles. Now they need to remember when they are in Hajj that this is not the proper way. You have to raise it up. And also, the woman learns when she is told not to cover her hands, not to cover her face, she learns now that dressing is not up to you. Dressing is not up to you. You dress the way you like. But it is as Allah Ta'ala commands you. He, Allah Ta'ala, who said that He likes from the woman to cover all of her body, now He is commanding her not to cover her face, not to cover her hands. So that it doesn't become a habit. I do whatever I like. No. You do whatever you are told to do. Not what you like to do, but what you are told to do. And also, wearing this ihram makes you learn to stay away from, as we said, broadness and arrogance, and to avoid wearing the very special clothes. Because we see some people always like to be seen different. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ warned against wearing clothes which gives you, and which are used for fame, to be known. You are distinguished very well. Everybody is wearing normal clothes, but he is wearing something very, very special so people look to. That is not wanted in Islam. And to avoid wearing the clothes of kuffar, which are special clothes for the kuffar. Today, people say, but the suit is also clothes for Muslims. We said, no. These are clothes for the imitators, not for Muslims. These are clothes for the imitators from amongst the Muslims. Those Muslims who think that they are lower than the West, lower than the Kuffar. Yes, we do have Muslims wear suit. As when they stand beside a Kafir, you cannot recognize who's Muslim, who's Kafir. Because one main distinguishing matter in Islam is the clothes. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they conquered Baytul Maqdis and it was occupied by the Christians, as you know, he commanded the Christians not to wear like the Muslims. You have to differentiate so people can know who's Muslim, who's not. Unfortunately, we see some type of kuffar feeling proud of their own religious dressing, like the Hindus or the Sikh. I don't know. The Sikh. Even in London Heathrow Airport, they were told not, but there is a case in the court and they won. They feel proud of their false religion. We Muslims, many of us today, subhanAllah, only imitating. The men imitated the kuffar men wearing suits. And little, they cut their beards. And then they shaved it. And then they shaved even the mustache and maybe the eyebrows. I don't know. And even the women started doing like that. Oh, you are, you know, it's a tradition. It's an Arab tradition. That's what they say. It's not from the religion. It's only Arab tradition. Subhanallah. What Aisha used to be upon is tradition. What Rasulullah said, subhanallah. Where is the dignity of Islam? Where is the dignity of Islam? People today only look for dignity from, as they call them, first world. I say they are the first with the fire. They are first thrown to the fire, true. Because they are kuffar. They are kuffar. And also, we need to also avoid the clothes which are special for the fujjar, even from amongst the Muslims. Like the actors and actresses, singers and sport people or whatsoever. We have to avoid that. And we have to teach our children and families to avoid that. The styles and etc., etc. We are to be imitated. We are not imitators. And Hajj teaches us, can anybody today put a necktie on his ihram? He cannot. He cannot. It's not allowed. You're not allowed. So we have to be careful. And from these benefits that we get from Hajj is spending for the sake of Allah. Yes, today people spending. See how much incomes we have? How much savings we do? Nothing. Nothing. One of us may get 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, some of us 20,000 riyals salary a month. What savings do they make? Nothing. Why? Because spending. Spending. Only spending. Food, we spend. We buy best food. Rasulullah Sallam used to eat simple food. And save money to give to the poor. He didn't eat any simple food, so he saved money to be rich. But to give money to the poor. Clothes, we buy the most expensive ones. Car, we change cars every other time. Furniture, etc., etc. Look to us today and our families, our children. Every new electronic device comes immediately bought. Immediately. And some of them pay in advance before even the product is sold in market. And I hear recently of something like that, that I don't know how many millions of it were already reserved. Money paid. Because we want the newest. So what if you get the old version? If it is okay. But it is how the shaitan plays with people today. And imitating. Imitating. And also, Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 63, about spending for the sake of Allah, and how the person can get this teaching from Hajj. Allah said, as in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 36, وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ شَعَائِرَ لِلَّهِ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ فَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا صَوَافَّ فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا فَكُلُوا وَاطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرَّ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And the barren, the cows, oxen or camels driven to be offered as a sacrifice by the pilgrims at the sanctuary of Mecca and Mina, all of it. We have made them for you as among the symbols of Allah. As among the symbols of Allah. Wherein you have much good in them. You came riding them. These days people do not ride them. But in the old days, they used to come riding them. And then you slaughter them and you eat from them. And you eat. Wherein you have much good. So mention the name of Allah over them when they are drawn up in lines for sacrifice. Then when they are down on their sides after slaughter, eat thereof and feed the poor who does not ask, who does not ask for it. And the beggar who come and ask for it, who ask for it. Thus have we made them subject to you that you may be grateful, meaning to Allah, to your Lord. So, Hajj teaches you these things. To be grateful, to spend for the sake of Allah, to check your people. Some of them do not ask. We know people today, maybe give donations, but only for those who come back. And that's what I hear every time, and especially in Ramadan, people bring the zakah. Ya Sheikh, can you take zakah and give it? I say, Akhi, why don't you take your zakah and give it to the poor? Oh, I don't know poor people here. I said, is it because you just came, you are new here? It's been years now here. How come you did not know any poor people here? It is because you never ask anybody, you don't check your brothers. You don't check. You don't ask them. You don't see if they need or they don't need. And maybe they don't need only food. Maybe food is the last thing they think about. But maybe they have some serious obligations. If they don't do it, they may be in trouble. So why don't we go and check our neighbors, our friends and our relatives? And also from these benefits that we get from Hajj is the exercise on sufficiency in what Allah Ta'ala give us. And not to extend our vision and eyes to what people have. And this leads us to envy. One look to the other. What is that? That's bad. That's bad. So, Hajj teaches you not to extend your eyes to what people have. Whether wealth or even wives or... So you put a burial to your eye, to your hand. Not to extend it to their wealth, nor to their honors, but to protect them. And also to, or not to get involved in arguments in regard to religion. That's why in the Quran and in the Sunnah, no arguments in Hajj. Now when you go, those who come from Shawwal, look how many days they have. Exercise. Keep your mouth closed. Do not get into arguments. It's a good exercise. These ones go back to their countries, they never get into arguments. Because you will find it much, much easy for you not to get into arguments than to get. No enemies. No headache, no blood pressure, meaning goes high. So alhamdulillah, nice life. But if you keep on argument, then you have all these problems. You lose your friends one after another. And maybe you earn doubts from those who argue. You earn the doubts, the shubuhat. And at the same time, you always be angry, and this will cause you headache, blood pressure, to go high, and many other problems. So Hajj teaches you how even to maintain your health. and to maintain your friendship. And that is found in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 197, where Allah Ta'ala says, الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. The Hajj is the well-known month. Is the well-known month. Meaning Shawwal from day one, Dhul Qa'dah and 10 days of the Hijjah. So whosoever intends to perform Hajj therein, then he should not have sexual relations with his wife, nor commit sin, nor dispute unjustly during the Hajj. Meaning, no arguments in regard to the issues of Hajj. Now, in Hajj, people do not argue about other issues of religion. They don't argue about fasting, they don't argue. But you see the arguments a lot in Hajj about the Hajj rituals. All stoning this way. And they all are not people of knowledge. They don't have knowledge about this thing. But everyone speaks like if he is Shaykh al-Islam. And sometimes they argue even with the ulama or students of knowledge without any dalil. Even if there is dalil, Allah told you do not argue. If you have the dalil and you feel that this is the right thing, take it and go, khalas, don't argue. Don't argue. Just take it and go. Not? And why Allah Ta'ala allowed us to argue with the Yahud and the Christians, but not to argue in Hajj? Because Hajj is a worship that comes every year, and it is obligatory only once in one's lifetime. So it is a worship that can be forgotten. So if you are not familiar with it, if you are not a strong student of knowledge, if you don't go Hajj with people of knowledge every year, you may forget, you may get confused. And I remember one guy came in Tawab and asked me, I don't know him, he's just one of the Muslims there. He said the Ittiba' or the Ramal is in 3 rounds, first 3 rounds, or all the tawaf and the ittiba'. As he understands that ittiba' is only 3 rounds and ramal all the tawaf. I said to him, no, it is the other way. He said, no, it is this way. And I know, I saw people as akhi. I did not even speak to him, I just ignored him and left. He started shouting, yelling, and saying that this is kibr. He wants me to stop in tawaf, even in tawaf, in the tawaf, and argue. You asked me, I gave you what I have, khalas, finish. You want to stay on what you are on, finish, take it. But no arguments. No? لَعَلَّكُمْ Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهِ. And look at this. And whatsoever good you do, Allah knows it. See? What's now the relation between this and what is before it? And argument is not from the good. See? Whatsoever good you do, Allah knows it. So argument is not of good. You speak of what you know of the dalil, and that's it, finish. Don't argue. Don't argue. And do not keep silent to avoid arguments. Ah, remember, this is not of the good. You see someone wrong, and you say, I don't want to argue. Keep my mouth shut. No, you say, no, this is wrong. The good is to speak the haqq, the truth, and then stay away. Do not argue. Now, if they take it, alhamdulillah. If they don't, it's up to them. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Look at this. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Now, this ayah, subhanAllah, has a lot of benefits. Lot of benefits. This ayah itself needs a khutbah alone. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. So why Allah Ta'ala is telling us that? تَزَوَّدُوا. تَزَوَّدُوا means take... This word tazawwadu comes from the word zad in Arabic. And zad means the food that you need, the food and drink that you need on the journey. That is the meaning of zad. So why Allah Ta'ala is saying, take of this as much as you can. Tazawwadu. Here the zad is not the normal food or drink, but it is the dhikr. Use your time in dhikr. Do not waste it in arguments. Do not waste it in number of issue talks. Just get use of your time. Get use of your time in those places and those days. In فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ. Look at that. التَّقْوَى. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best food, the best of what you save for your journey is taqwa, fearing Allah. So taqwa, when you speak, you have to fear Allah. When you keep silent, you have to fear Allah. You keep silent of something bad, but you speak of the good. Speak of the good. Arguments bad, lying bad, mocking others bad, insulting bad, slandering bad, criticizing bad. What is good? Teaching is good. Giving salam is good. Guiding people who are missing their place, good. Reminding others, good. So you join in this, you enjoy in this, but you stay away from this. That is the taqwa. That is the taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Then Allah Ta'ala said, and fear me, so fear me, O men, of understanding. Look at that. Of understanding. That means who do not go by this, the guidance of this ayah, is not a man of understanding. He's foolish. He's stupid. Simply, he's stupid. Because he's wasting his time arguing, and he knows that arguments will cause him a lot of problems, but he's still doing that. He doesn't know what is good, what is bad. He's foolish. Huh? So this is from the benefits of Hajj. And also, the equality or the equalization between people. As we said, from day one when you come for Hajj, everybody are in white, in two white garments. No one can have different. No one can have different. No one can come in one garment or in three piece. No one can wear a slaughter. No one can wear pants or whatsoever, or underwear. Sallallahu. Everybody got to be the same. Everybody got to be the same. In normal times, you cover and you put it on your shemach, and the prince or the scholar or put on their bisht, this abaya we have, this coat. But in ihram, no, it's not allowed. Not allowed. If you don't know the Amir, you cannot know him then. Because usually you recognize him by the way he's dressing. But in ihram, you cannot know who is the Amir now. You can, if you don't know the Shaykh, the scholar, you will not recognize him because he's like, he looks like everyone. He looks like everyone. And that's the equalization in Islam. But not man and woman. La. Man and woman must not be equal. And Islam does not deal with man and woman on equality, but on justice. Justice. Like, in your company, the director is not equal to the T-boy. I challenge anybody, anywhere in the world, those who speak on the medias of the Western countries, and they say that they are of injustice and equality. Is the president equal to the T-boy? I challenge. He rides a special car. He lives in a special house. He uses a special number. Who sees him are special people. So where is the equality now? But we say, this is not wrong. This is the justice. So why don't they want to implement it with man and woman? And when we say, look to Islam, Islam says justice, not equality. They say Islam oppressed woman. We say no. Look to the messenger, what did he say? Look to Allah Ta'ala. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ Isn't it? And we commanded man to be good and dutiful to his parents. And then, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ What is mentioned right after? Mother, not father. Mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهَنًا عَلَوْهُ The Prophet ﷺ said, أُمَّهُ ثم أمك ثم أمك ثم أبوك. When the man came asking him, who has more right with me to accompany, he said, your mother. He said, then. He said, your mother. Then your mother. And then your father. So is this equality or justice? And we would say, okay, why three times? Where is the equality now? Why the mother is not equal to the father? Because they cannot be equal. The father did not have any pain of pregnancy. Did not have any trouble in breastfeeding. Did not wash the baby when he discharged stool with his hand. The father doesn't do that, but the mother does. He was sleeping when the baby was crying, sick, but the mother wasn't. That's why we don't look for equalization, but we look for justice. Justice. And this is the religion of justice. Religion of justice. But, and other than that, yes, people are equal. In the masjid, there is no special salah for the Amir. There is no special salah for the Amir. The Amir, in Asr time, he prays for rak'at. In the same time that everyone prays. He cannot say, no. This time is not for me. I'm the Amir. I pray first, then everybody prays behind me, after me. It's a miskin. You are not having more reward than them. They are praying in jama'ah, and they are following Rasulullah ﷺ, but you are not. No? And this is well seen in the saying of Allah as in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 199. Allah Ta'ala said, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ Look at this. ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ Then depart, meaning from Muzdalifah to from to the Masjid al-Haram, from Arafat to Muzdalifah, and then from Muzdalifah to Mina, and from Mina to the Masjid al-Haram. But the ayah means the Tawaf al-Ifadah, Masjid al-Haram. And then depart from the place whence all the people depart. All the people. You cannot have a special Hajj. You cannot have a special Hajj. You will perform Hajj like everyone else. You cannot go to Arafah on the 10th of the Hajjah. You cannot stay in Muzdalifah on the 7th. You cannot. You have to be with them. You have to be with them. Now, and then Allah Ta'ala said, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Look at that. وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. After all that, استغفر الله. You perform like everybody and seek forgiveness. Why? Because you may have, still have something in your heart. Look at this poor coming to us. Look at this. And some of them, go. Don't come here. Subhanallah. That's bad. In Hajj, we cannot do that. And Hajj is the great teachings for our life, whole life, the rest of the life. Inna Allah Ghafoor Rahim. So, in Hajj, there are a lot of benefits and reminders to those who look concentrately. I ask Allah Ta'ala for myself and you and all the Muslims to be guided to an acceptable good deed, and I seek forgiveness for myself and you and all of the Muslims. Verily He is all forgiver, all merciful. This was the first khutbah, and then the second I said, Alhamdulillah al-Hadi wa la hadi suwa. All praise due to Allah, the one who guides, and no one can guide other than Him. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and the slave of Allah. Amma ba'd. O slaves of Allah, verily there is not any worship being made obligatory or even optional, except that it has a lot of khayr, a lot of good for the one who performs it. Whether in this world, in this world and in the hereafter. Not whether, but in both. In this world and in the hereafter. In this world and in the hereafter. And that is for the one who performs it in a good way. Look to what Allah Ta'ala says. As in Surah Al-Hajj. Ayah 97. Allah Ta'ala says, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أحسن ما كانوا يعملون. سورة الحج. نعم. من عمل صالحا. It's not سورة الحج. I may have made a mistake. النحل. نعم. النحل. سورة النحل حسنت. أنا ما أعرف لماذا قلت سورة الحج. نعم من سورة النحل آية 97. الله تعالى سيد من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرا بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever does righteousness or good deeds, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, is a true believer, meaning upon the Islamic monotheism, verily to him or her, we will give a good life in this world. With respect. With respect. Contentment. And lawful provision. And we shall pay them certainly a reward in preparation to the best of the of what they used to do. Meaning in the hereafter. The paradise. So, the good life in this world and in the hereafter, the good life, the comfortable life, the beautiful life, is only given to a believer who does a good deed. He is a believer, he believes, and he does righteousness. And in the day of resurrection, when Allah Ta'ala gathered everybody, in that day where no wealth, no children, no family can benefit or can support, except whoever comes with a full iman heart, and that day nothing will benefit you except your iman and your good deed that you used to do in this world. This was the end of the khutbah, and then I said, seek blessings and salam upon your prophet, and know that Allah Ta'ala only command of justice, goodness, and to support your families and relatives, and Allah Ta'ala forbids the fahsha, which is the false actions, wal munkar, or false sayings, and munkar is false actions, and baghi, which is oppression. Allah Ta'ala reminds you so that you may remember. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.